Today's shir is Masecht on the Dorm Daf Lamed Ches. We will begin on Daf Lamed Ches Amar Aleph at the end of the fifth line. As the Marsha helps introduce the Gemara we're going to learn today. The Marsha says we learned in the previous shir that Torah should be taught without any remuneration. Ma ani bechinam af atem bechinam. So if Moshe Rabbeinu, the teacher of Torah to Klal Yisrael, did teach us Torah, so from where the Moshe Rabbeinu, as we're going to learn in today's shir, become wealthy from, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chama Barav Chanina Lohesh Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu did not become wealthy. Elam Psalton Shaluchis. We know that the Luchas Shniyos, the second Luchas, were written by Moshe Rabbeinu he was found under his tent a large sapphire stone, and that stone was used to write the Luchas on, and the fragments that were left over after Moshe Rabbeinu wrote those Luchas is what made Moshe Rabbeinu wealthy. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, Psolcha Shnei Luchas Avonim Kerishonim. Sultan, the fragments, teaches us the Torah we're told to Moshe Rabbeinu Shechayehe. And as the Mashiach says, the Pasuk is saying, Sultan, what did the Pasuk say? A Selecha, why did the Pasuk use this unique type of terminology of Psol? To teach us, Sultan, the fragments should be yours. The Svarim say, Sultan means the Psolus, that there are different Jews of different levels of observance, different levels of Shmiras HaMitzvahs and Avodas Hashem. Psalton, even those Jews who are considered Rachman Otzlan, Psalus, the lower level Jews, Shalchayehe, Moshe Rabbeinu drew close all types of Jews to Hashem and to Avodas Hashem without any differentiation. Amar Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, La Nitner Torah Ela L'Moshe U'L'Zaroi. Originally, the Torah was given only to Moshe Rabbeinu and to his children. Moshe L'Zaroi, the Mefarshim explained, means Shevet Levi. Shenemar K'sav L'cha P'sol L'cha. The Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu should write the Luchos. The fragments of the Luchos should be his. Map Sultan Shalcha, just like we just learned that the fragments left over from the carving of the Luchos should remain for Moshe Rabbeinu. Af Ksavet Shalcha, the Divrei Torah themselves were only meant to be yours. However, Moshe Nog Batovus Ayin, Moshe Rabbeinu acted generously, V'nosna L'Yisrael, and gave all of the Torah to Klal Yisrael. For all of Akos of Omer, regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pasuk says, Toiv Ayin Hu Yevorech. A generous person will be blessed, and as the Pasuk continues saying there in Mishlei, Ki Nosan Mi Lachmoy Ladal. He gives from his bread to the poor people. Lachmoy is another way of saying the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu shared the Torah with Klal Yisrael. Master of Chizda, Asr of Chizda, how can we say that Moshe Rabbeinu shared the Torah with Klal Yisrael, even though it was originally intended just for him? And as the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, in the intent of the Gemara was never to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be the one to receive the Torah, and that the rest of Klal Yisrael did not have to observe the mitzvahs. Of course, Klal Yisrael had to observe the mitzvahs. What the Gemara means to say here is that the actual Torah, as it is written, that was never intended to be given to Moshe Rabbeinu, only to Moshe Rabbeinu, suggests the Gemara. On that, asked the Gemara, Moshe of Chizda, it says in the Pasuk, Vayisi Tziva Hashem Be'esahi L'Lamed Eschem, Pasuk that we quoted in the previous year, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to teach Klal Yisrael all of the Torah, answers the Gemara, Oisi Tziva. The way to understand the Gemara is the Pasuk HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me, just me, Fani Lochem, I went out of my generosity, out of my own initiative, and gave it to you. Ask the Gemara from another pasuk. It says in the pasuk, Re'ei lemadati eschem, I taught you chukim mishpatim kasha tzivani Hashem alakai. Again, the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe to teach Klal Yisrael all the Torah. Answers the Gemara again, Oisi tziva, the command was just to me and my family to learn the Torah. Vani, however, I in my generosity, Lachem, gave it to you. Ask the Gemara, it says the pasuk, V'ata kisvu Lachem es ashira azois. Klal Yisrael is commanded to write the Torah. If Klal Yisrael is commanded, this is the pasuk that teaches us that one is obligated to write a Sefer Torah. So if this pasuk says that we're obligated to write the Sefer Torah, obviously all of the Sefer Torah was given to us. Otherwise, what would we be writing? Answers the Gemara, Shira L'chuda. That pasuk is only referring that we have the obligation to write the Shira, which is brought down in Parashas Hazino. That parasha was given to Klal Yisrael, but we do not yet have definitive proof that all of the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. Answers the Gemara, but continues the Gemara in asking. The pasuk says, "Lamantia Shira Zois L'Aid Bnei Yisrael." This Shira that I'm telling you to write should be a witness amongst us for the rest of the Torah. If we weren't those who received the rest of the Torah, what are we writing it to be an aid for, to be testimony for? Answers the Gemara, Alpha Pula Ba'alma. All of the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. Pilpula Ba'alma, what the Gemara here means to say is, this concept of pilpul, that we can learn from Torah and expound on the Torah, akasha, a teretz, a back and a forth, that isn't what the essence of Torah can necessarily be about, but Moshe Rabbeinu received it, and he, in his generosity, that's part of his Torah Shebaal Peh, explains the Chasam Sofer, gave us the ability, gave us that too, the koyach, to be mefalpil, to expound the very Torah. And the Mefarshim explained, that's what the Gemara means when we said at the beginning of the Shir, Psal Lecha, Psalten Shalcha, the Psalis. We know when one says a pilpul, a kasha is asked, a teretz is answered. Sometimes the teretz is not a good teretz. Sometimes the kasha is not a good kasha. But what the Gemara is trying to say is, even the Psalis, the parts that are discarded, the divrei Torah that don't remain, a shalcha, are considered divrei Torah. And the Mefarshim say that's pshat what it says, that the Gemara says, luchais v'shivrei luchais menachem ba'aron. Not only are the luchais in the aron, but also the shivrei luchais, the part that is broken. All of the Torah, all of the divrei Torah are considered Torah, even the shivrei luchais. In fact, I saw from the Sefer Shari Simcha that the Gemara says that at Masechta Shabbos, that one of the questions a person is asked when he comes to the Olam HaEmes is a sakto b'peri v'rivya. And Parsha Pshat is that, did you have children? Says the Shari Simcha that the question that's really asked of the person is a sakto b'peri v'rivya. Did you expound divrei Torah? Did you help divrei Torah multiply the pur vu of Torah, the pilpul of Torah? Our Gemara also quoted the pasuk of Atem Kisvulchem as Ashir Azois, which we interpreted to mean that it refers to all of the to writing a Sefer Torah. And this is the pasuk that teaches us that there's an obligation for a Jew to write a Sefer Torah. The Levush interestingly says, why is there such a great obligation to write a Sefer Torah? He says, because if somebody goes through the tircha, the bother of writing a Sefer Torah, he shows that he is such an individual that would have, in the Midbar, also gone to Har Sinai, would have gone to Midbar Sinai, ready to accept the Torah. He would have been prepared to sacrifice his comfort for Divrei Torah. That's the mitzvah of Atam Kisvul Chemes Ashir Azosh. And the Rosh and the Tor say that this mitzvah of Atam Kisvul Chemes Ashir Azosh, the mitzvah of writing Sefer Torah, was in the original, was in earlier generations, that the only Torah that was recorded was the Chamish Chumash Torah, and Tanakh, the Chumash, Sefer Torah. However, nowadays, after we have begun writing Torah Shebapeh, after the Mishnah and the Gemara were written, and Svarim are been written all generations, says the Rosh that one can be mekayim the mitzvah of Atem Kisvul Chemes Hashira Azois with writing Sifrei Torah, with buying Sifrei Sforim for buying Sforim. There's a machlokes hamfarshim how far to interpret the Rosh's opinion. Darach HaShulchan, the Bach, the Taz, all say that the Rosh does not mean to say that there is no mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. He's saying that besides the mitzvah that a Jew has to write a Sefer Torah, he could also be mekayim this mitzvah by buying Sforim. However, interestingly enough, the Drisha says that one, according to the Rosh, that now that the most of the learning takes place not from the Sefer Torah, most of the learning takes place from the printed Sforim, the mitzvah changed and it's no longer the mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, but one is mekayim the mitzvah specifically by buying Sforim. Mefarshim also go on to say, since our Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu, the gift that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us is Pilpula Ba'alma, says the Chiddush Harim, now we understand why the Gemara says that there had to be, the Gemara Masechta Yevamim says that a bas koil emanated and specifically said that the halach is like Beis Shammai, not like Beis Hillel. Why do I need to have a specific bas koil announcing that? Says the Chiddush Harim, because the Gemara says that Beis Shammai were mechadit fei. They had in them the koyach hapilpul. They had in them this ability to make pilpul. And we're saying now that that is the gift that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us. So that's why we would perhaps assume that the halacha should follow them. They who have excelled in the ability to be mefalpel in Divrei Torah, that's why Bas Koil specifically had to come out and say that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashu Shekhinah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not bring the Shekhinah, Elo Al Gibor, on a person who's strong, for Asher, somebody who's wealthy, for Chacham, somebody who's wise, Vanavan, somebody who's modest. For Kulam and Moshe, and all of these attributes, we can learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu was the paradigm of a Navi, and he had all of these attributes. There are a number of ways of approaching this Gemara. Some Rishonim explain, quite simply, that in order for a Navi to be respected, he has to be a person of stature, wise, wealthy, strong, and that's why it's required that a Navi have these attributes. Another pshat that I saw from Reb Chaim Volozhiner is that really the main attribute that a Navi must have is that he's an onuf, that he's modest. But a person who's modest, if he doesn't have anything to be proud about, that's not really being modest. If a person is a gibur, a chacham, an ashir, and he's still an onuf, he's still modest, that is a proof of true humbleness, true modesty. The Rambam seems to learn that when our Gemara says gibur ashir, it's not in the literal sense that we're accustomed to, but gibur, as it says in Pirkei Avos, Eizu gibur hakoyvish es yitzroi, Eizu asher hasameich b'chalkoi. But many mefarshim ask on the Rambam, because our Gemara clearly, as we're going to learn in a moment, says that seeks proof that these people had physical strength and had material wealth. So the Kesef Mishnah explains that a Navi who was a Navi Kavua, a Navi who constantly said Nevuah, a Navi whose Nevuah was recorded, had to have these attributes in their simple, literal meaning. A Navi who wasn't a Navi Kavua did not have to have these attributes in their literal meaning, he had to have them, as the Rambam explains, Ezu Giba Akavis HaShitroi, Ezu Osha HaSamech B'Chalkoi. So how do we know that Moshe was a Gibor? How do we know that Moshe was strong? Diksib, because the pasuk says, "V'yifreis es ha'oil al ha'mishkan." Moshe Rabbeinu spread the curtain over the Mishkan. V'amemar, Moshe Rabbeinu parosai. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that spread it over the oil. Diksib es ha'amas oirech ha'kerish. Each kerish was 10 amas tall. So obviously Moshe was very tall if he could reach above the krushim. So obviously if he was tall, he must have been strong. Asked the Gemara, Eimad Aruch V'Katan. Maybe he was indeed tall, but Katan, he was weak. And we don't necessarily have a proof that he was strong. So the Mashal says, but why don't we bring a proof from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who erected the Mishkan and the Krashim by himself. And the Krashim, as we just learned, were these tall beams, 10 amas tall. Says the Mashal, as the Medrash teaches us, Rashi quotes the Chumash, Hukam HaMishkan, that even though it seemed that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who erected the Mishkan, actually it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who erected the Mishkan. So the Gemara knew that that is not a valid proof, and the Gemara is trying to find a different proof that Moshe Rabbeinu was strong. Elamana Denkra. The proof is from this pasuk. The Ksiv, the pasuk says, as Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai, the Espois B'Shnei HaLuchos, I grabbed on to the two Luchos, the Ashalchei Meyodai, and I threw them down, the Ashabram, and I broke them. The Tanya, HaLuchos, Arkin Shisha, the Luchos was 6 Tvachim long, the Rachman Shisha, and 6 Tvachim wide, the Avyat Shloshim, and 3 Tvachim thick. So there's a number of ways of explaining the Gemara. One is that just holding these luchos, these were heavy, and the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu had the ability to hold them is a proof that he was strong. Another pshat is that the fact that he was able to throw them, hurl them, even though they were so heavy, is a proof that he was strong. And yet the Shita says a very interesting pshat. He says, as Moshe Rabbeinu came down and he wanted to throw down and break the luchos, the zakenim, the Shivim Zakenim, the 70 Zakenim, tried to prevent him from doing so. And he was able to prevail over the Shivim Zakenim. Clearly a proof that he was strong. Usher, how do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was wealthy? Says the Gemara, Psalucha, as we learned before, Sultan Shalchayahe, the carvings of the Luchas remained with Moshe Rabbeinu and made him wealthy. Ask the Mefarshim, Al Gemara is teaching us that to be a Navi, one must be wealthy. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi long before he wrote the Luchos Shniyos. So if he has to be wealthy, how could he have been a Navi beforehand? So I saw a few Tirutzim. One Tirutz is that Moshe Rabbeinu was really wealthy, was always wealthy. But he had donated all of his wealth for the erection of the Beis HaMikdash, to build, to give truma, to give a donation to the Mishkan. And therefore, Psalucha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, replenished his wealth by giving him the Psoilus of the Luchas. Another pshat that I saw is as follows. A person could be wealthy without even being aware that he's wealthy. Let's say I have under my house a treasure. So I'm a wealthy person. I'm just not aware of it. We learned at the beginning of our shir that Moshe Rabbeinu had this sapphire under his tent. He wasn't aware of it until HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually told him about it. But he really had it there all along. So now we could understand why the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was wealthy. He was wealthy because he had the sapphire treasure under his tent, even though he might not have been aware of it. Chacham, how do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Chacham? Rav Shmuel de Amri Tavayu. Chamishim Shari Bina Nivra Ba'olam. 50 gates of wisdom are in the world. Kulam Nitnu L'Moshe. They were all given to Moshe Rabbeinu Chasa Achas, except one. He only received 49. Shenemar V'tachsreyu Ma'at Melakim. So the Ramban explains why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu receive all 50 Shari Bina. So the Ramban says, because a person cannot survive in this world and continue living in this world if he has all 50 Shari Bina. And perhaps the explanation is based on what the way Reb Chaim Brisker explains this Gemara. He says that what is the 50th Shari Bina? The 50th Shari Bina is a true, pure knowledge of the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says that in this world, a person is supposed to have bechira. He has the choice to do what's right or to do what's wrong. If a person will have such a clear and pure knowledge of the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will never come to do an aveira, and therefore his entire existence is no longer required. He cannot exist in this world under such circumstances. The Chiddush Arim has a very different approach to this Gemara. He says that the 50 Shari Bina, there are 49 Kulam Nitnu L'Moshe. 49 Shari Bina were given to Moshe Rabbeinu as a gift. The 50th Shar he worked on and got for himself. Kulam Nitnu L'Moshe. All 49 were given to him. The 50th he worked on and received on his own. Onav, the Ksiv Ish Moshe on the Ma'id, Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, was an extremely humble individual. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol HaNeviim Ashirim Hayu. All of the Neviim were wealthy. Minolan, how do we know that this is the case? Says the Gemara, Mi Moshe, Mi Shmuel, Mi Amis, Umi Yoyna. Moshe, how do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was wealthy? The Ksiv, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I never even took from you one donkey. What does it mean? Ibelai agra doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that I never took a donkey without paying. Lafuki man the shock of agra. He was saying that I wasn't a person that took without paying. Is that something to be proud of? That he wasn't a robber? That he didn't take without paying? Ella, to mean that feel about agra. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, I did not even take a donkey for payment. I didn't need your donkey. I had my own. So the Gemara, maybe the way to understand the pasuk is not to say that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need their donkeys because he had his own. Maybe he was poor and therefore he couldn't rent a donkey because he couldn't afford to pay for it. Ella, as we go back to the beginning of the shir, psalacha, Sultan Yishlcha, the sapphire carvings of the Luchas were given to Moshe, proof that he's wealthy. Shmuel, how do we know that Shmuel was wealthy? The Ksiv. Shmuel says to Klal Yisrael, Hineni, Anubi, Neged Hashem, VeNeged Mashichai, L'shami L'kachti, V'chamolim L'kachti. Whose donkey, whose axe did I ever take? And again the Gemara says, Ibechinom, if Shmuel was meaning to say that he'd never took without paying, lafuki man the shok lechinam, was Shmuel trying to be proud that he didn't take without paying? Is that something to be so proud of? Ella, to say the fila beschar. He didn't need their donkey, he didn't have to rent it, he had his own. Again, asked the Gemara, Dilma, perhaps the reason was, Donihu, because he was poor, and therefore he couldn't afford to pay. And that's why he didn't take their donkey. Ela mahocha. The pasuk says, "V'chumasa haramasa." Shmuel would go around all of Eretz Yisrael, Beisel, Gilgal, Mitzpah, and return to Ramah, Kisham Beisa. Vama Rava, Kamakim Shaholoch, Beisa Imai. Wherever he went, his home was with him. He was wealthy enough to have enough items to be able to carry along with him wherever he went. So, I saw the Mefarshim explain that we know that many times when people travel, when they go on vacation, when they go out of town, their Shmiras HaMitzvahs, their Avodas Hashem, is not as strong as when they are at home. It teaches us the Pasuk, V'tshuvasa haramasai kisham beisai, wherever he was, whenever he was out of town, he still acted in the same level of avodas Hashem and shmiras hamitzvahs. The Chofetz Chaim explains this Gemara somewhat differently. He explains that we know that people spend a lot of effort and energy on building homes in this world. Says the Chofetz Chaim, V'tshuvasa haramosa. Haramosa means an area that's high. Rama means high up. A person should realize, Kisham beisoy, where is the true home? Where is the place that we should be striving? What is the home that we really should be striving to build? Haramasa, the home that we have in the Olam HaEmes, that's the real important home, not this temporary home that we have in this world. Amar Rava, Gom l'mashenem b'shmul, Moshe l'mashenem b'Moshe. It's even greater what the pasuk says about Shmuel than by Moshe. Deal of Moshe Rabbeinu k'siv, l'chamar echem mechem nesosi. I didn't take from you a donkey, the fila b'schar. He didn't take even for payment. Vila gab Shmuel, a fila b'rotzen lo sachroi. That means Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that even if I was willing to pay, I only took for pay. I never took for free. But it could perhaps mean that if the people were willing to rent him the donkey, he would have rented the donkey from them. By Shmuel it says, I feel a barotzloi sachroi. Maybe they really didn't want to rent it to him. Just it's Shmuel. It's Moshe. They didn't want to rent it to him. And that's why Shmuel was careful, even if they said that they want to rent it for him, and even if he was ready to pay, he didn't take from them. As the pasuk says, V'yom aloi shektanu, v'loi ritzasanu. You didn't even ask us for our consent. You never asked us. What's pshat? Lo yishaktanu, he didn't rob us. So first we get asked, is there a question that somebody like Shmuel perhaps would have robbed Klal Yisrael? So Mefarshim explained what the Gemara means to say is that he never withheld someone's salary from paying it in a timely basis. Amos. The pasuk tells us in Novi Amos that Amos was challenged by Amtsio if he was truly a Novi Hashem. And V'yan Amos, V'yomel Amtsio, how could you say Musr? So he says, Loi Novi Anoichi, V'loi Ben Novi Anoichi. K'boiker Ani, I am a cattle herder, or Boilish Kaimim, I examine sycamores. And K'metagin Rabbi Yosef, Arei Mori Geisa Anon, I'm the owner of cattle, V'shmikman Li B'shveltoi, and I own sycamore trees, proving that he was a wealthy person. He had all this property. Says the Gemara further, Yoina, how do we know that Yoina was wealthy? The Ksiv Yitain Tzchar, we know, as Yoina is attempting to flee, he goes and tries to go onto a boat. V'yitain Tzchara V'yered Ba. V'arab Yochanan, Shinosin Tzchara Shosfina Kula. He paid the entire hire of the ship. Amre Rumnus, Tzchara Shosfina Hava Abba Alos Dinri Dava. Chartering the ship costs 400 dinars. As the Mashah explains, if someone comes to the ship and he wants to meet that the ship should immediately take off. So typically, he says, the ship didn't take off until it was full. However, Yoina, as we know, was anxious to flee and he wanted the ship to take off. So he told the captain of the ship, I'll pay for the entire ship, I'll charter the entire ship. As the Gemara says, it's worth 4,000 dinari, gold dinar, a huge sum. Just let's leave immediately. Clear proof that Yoina was wealthy. Vamar Rav Yochanan, B'tchila haya Moshe loy m'tayra m'shachay. At the beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu would learn Torah and forget it. At shenitn loy b'matana, until it was given to him as a gift. Shnima shenema v'yitin a Moshe k'chaloysa l'dabritay. And as the Rishonim explain, Kechaloisoi is the same word as Kala, that the Torah was given to Moshe, just like a Chosin gives his Talis, Kala, a gift. Moshe Rabbeinu at the beginning could not remember all the Divrei Torah. The Divrei Torah is so great, and so deep, and so voluminous, that he could not remember it all, even Moshe Rabbeinu. And even though he was learning it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to him as a gift, like a chassan gives a kala gifts. So I saw from the tzlach how do we, who we don't receive the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how are we zaycha to be able to remember the Divrei Torah that we learn? So he says that the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos, we learn at the beginning of Tehillim, Kiyam b'tayres Hashem cheftzoy uv'soyrosoy yege yoyman v'layla. So the Pasuk first calls the Torah Tayras Hashem, and then the Pasuk calls the Torah Tayrosoy, his Torah. So Gemara says, Kan koydim bracha, kan la'acha bracha. Before a person makes Birchas HaTorah, it's Tayras Hashem. After a person makes Birchas HaTorah, it's Tayrosoy, it's his Torah. Similarly, says the Tzlach, if a person is careful to properly make Birchas HaTorah, that is the way that the Torah becomes Tayrosoy, and he's able to remember what he learns. The Satmar Rebbe takes the following approach. He says that the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos that Chassidim HaRishonim HaYishon Shoachas Lefnei Tfila V'Shoachas La'achar Tfila V'Shoachas B'Tfila. The Tfila of a Chassidim took 3 hours. So if so, if there are 3 Tfilas in a day, they spent 9 hours in davening. Ask the Gemara, v'chimach sheshoyim teshoshos b'yoyim b'tfila, if it took him 9 hours of the day to daven, terosan heichem mishtar meres, or malachtim heichem nasas, how could they learn Torah? How could they do any work if they already spent 9 hours in davening? Since it's the Gemara, amatach shechsidim hayu, terosan mishtar meres, or malachtim misbareches. Says the Satmar Rebbe, we see here a skula, that if somebody properly davens, that is a skula for Tayrosa Mishtameris, for them to remember the Torah that they learned, or Malachta Misbareches, and to have Hatzlocha in their worldly pursuits also. Our Mishnah continues to discuss if one made a neder that he may not benefit from someone, what may that individual do? Says the Mishnah, V'zon es ishtoi v'esponov. That individual may give support to the person's wife and to his person's children. So the Rishonim go into Afapi, Shuchai b'zonoson, even though this husband is obligated to support his wife and children, still his wife and children may receive support from this individual that he may not benefit from. And the Rishonim give a number of reasons why. One pshat offered by the Rishonim is that our Mishnah reflects the opinion of Chanan, who we quoted earlier in our perek, who say that if it's not directly from the person that I'm not allowed to benefit from, to me, it's considered, Chodon said, Mavriach Ari, and that benefit may be received. Although, I saw that the Mefarshim ask, if our Mishnah reflects the opinion of Chodon, why does now Gemara say so? So the Tosfos Yontif says, since the Halacha follows the opinion of Chodon, and we've already quoted Chanan's opinion earlier in our parak, the Gemara did not have to repeat it. However, other Rishonim say, the Ran says that our Mishnah could follow even the opinion of the Chachamim. However, our Mishnah is referring to a situation that the person is paying, this person is giving my wife parnosa l'shem mitzvah. He's clearly saying that he's doing it not to help me out, but he wants to have the mitzvah supporting this woman, and therefore, even the Chachamim would agree that he may give the panasa. Along the same line, the Tosfos explains that he's giving it in front of me, and therefore, by giving it in front of me, it's clearly saying, I'm giving it in spite of you, you don't give, I'm just giving it because I feel for this woman. However, another pshat that's given by the Rishonim, which is used in explaining the whole Mishnah, is that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where a husband is supporting his wife, but he's giving her the basic necessities. The maestris, anything extra, he's not giving, but he's not obligated to give. And that is what this individual is giving the wife, and since it's not something that the husband would have to give, it's not considered that he's benefiting the wife. What about the Mishnah when it says bonof? So the very fundamental machloikis, Rosh and Meiri, how to understand Bonov. The Rosh says that really Bonov is only mentioned in the Mishnah Agav Urcha of Ishtoi, because one is not obligated to support his children, and therefore if someone else who I'm now out of benefit is supporting my children, it's not really that he's doing me any favor, because I wasn't obligated to support my children. Rabbi Meiri disagrees. Meiri says that certainly one is obligated to support his children when they're below 6 years old, and the Mishnah is referring to children who are below 6 years old. And the Mefarshim explained that the Machloikis, the Shalman and the Dharm explains, the Machloikis of the Rosh and the Meiri is how to understand the Takana that was made in Usha, that one should, that a father should support his children. The Rosh obviously says that that Takana even referred to children who are below 6 years old. The Meiri obviously held that children below 6 years old, we did not have to have a takanas usha. Rabbeinu Tam has a different way of explaining the ketanim, the bonav of our Mishnah. He says our Mishnah is referring to a situation where a woman is getting married in a second marriage, and she had children from a prior marriage, and she entered into a prenuptial agreement with her husband that her second husband would support these children that she had from a previous marriage. And therefore, our Mishnah is teaching us that even though this man is obligated to support these children, he, the person whom he's now out of benefit from, still may give them this support. However, continues the Mishnah, v'loyozen es behemtoy, this person who I'm now allowed to receive support from should not give food, bein, to my animals, bein to my behemtoy, whether it's a kosher or non-kosher animal. Rabbi Lezer says, Zonas Tameya, he may support the kosher animal, the non-kosher animal, Venus Zonas Tayra may not support the kosher animal. Amrloy, so the Chacham asked Rabbi Lezer, Ma Bein Tameya L'Tahira, what is the difference between a kosher and non-kosher animal? Amrloy, Rabbi Lezer responded, Shetahira, a kosher animal, when it dies, if it dies through Shechita, Nafsha l'shamayim, it, neshama, obviously an animal also has neshama, goes to heaven. V'gufa shaloi, we could eat that meat. So by somebody who I'm now a benefit, feeding my animal, I'm benefiting from him because he's going to make my animal fatter and better. However, by the animal which is tameya, nafsha v'gufa l'shamayim, we may not eat the animal after it dies. And therefore, if somebody who I may not benefit from supports the animal, it doesn't really affect me, it doesn't really benefit me. And again, the Ran explains our Mishnah is referring not to the basic support, because without basic support, the animal would die. He says our Mishnah is referring that when somebody is giving extra to the animal, and this somebody is someone I'm not allowed to benefit from. The Rashba disagrees. And he says that even the basic, our Mishnah is referring even to the basic support. Amrloi, the Chachamim argue to Rebbe Lezer, and they say, Af HaTameya, even the non-kosher animal, Nafsha L'Shamayim V'Gufa Shaloi, we have benefit from it. Because although we may not eat from this animal, however, Shem Yirtza, Harei Umaychol Lev to Chachamim, I can always sell the animal to non-Jews, or Mechil L'Kavim, give it to dogs. So when this person feeds the animal and fattens it up, I'm benefiting from him, and therefore I may not allow that to happen if I'm not allowed to benefit from that individual. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Chananya Amar Rav Huna Hamuda Chano Mechaveroi. If somebody is not allowed to have benefit from someone else, Mutar L'Asilai Bitoi, they could still marry off his daughter to him. Ask the Gemara, Havi Bar Rav Zera. So Rav Zera tried to understand, but my iskinen, exactly what is the situation Rav Yitzchak Bar Chananya is referring to? Where the chassan is now a benefit from the father of the kala, and the Gemara is assuming that the kala is a ketana. So when the father marries off his daughter, who he has the right, as we've learned many times, to marry off his daughter who's a ketana, he's giving a shivcha, he's giving the son-in-law someone to serve him, and this person is now a benefit from the man. How could that be? Ella, says the Gemara, it's referring to a situation, b'nechsei chosin asura aviyakala. The aviyakala may not benefit from the chosin. Ask the Gemara, this I need Rav Huna to teach me? If we learned in our Mishnah, g'doyle mezu amroi, zon es ishtu vesponov, that someone who I'm not allowed to benefit from is allowed to support my wife and children, afopi, as our Mishnah said, shu chai b'mezunoisom, even though I carry the responsibility of supporting them, that amrit mutal asil b'itay, certainly I can marry off my daughter. Once I marry my daughter off to this individual, I have no responsibility to support her. So certainly the person who I may not benefit from could support her. Answers the Gemara, lo'ayla b'shenichse avikala surah al-chasun. Our Mishnah is referring where the father of the kala may not benefit from the chasun. But Rav Huna is referring to a situation of Bita Begeris, where the daughter is already a Begeris Medatos, so she gets married on her own. And as the Rishonim explained, so what's the Gemara teaching us? If she's already an adult girl who could get married on her own, so certainly the father is not benefiting. So explain that it's referring to a situation where the girl came to a father and asked, can I marry this individual? Do you think I should marry him? And even though this is an individual that the father-in-law is not allowed to have, the father-in-law said that he won't benefit the chassan, letting his daughter marry that man is not considered that he's benefiting him. However, there's a machlokes rishonim. Is it only when the girl, when it was at the initiative of the kala, that she came to a father? That's when it's permitted. But what would be if the father does it on his own initiative? Or moreover, if the chassan comes to the father of this girl and asks him, could you please convince your daughter to marry me, will that be mutar asr? Machlokes rishonim. Tanya na mehachi, hamuda ano mechavera, asr lasilai beitai. If someone may not benefit from me, I can't marry off my daughter to him. Aval, Bita Begeris, if my daughter is already a Begeris, then I may marry off Bidat because it depends on her consent since she's already a Begeris. Oma Reb Yaakov, Hamadir Benoy L'Talmud Torah. And there are two ways how to explain the Gemara. Most Rishonim explain the Gemara that a father wants his son to learn Torah. And he says, I don't want to have any benefit from you, because what he's trying to say is that you should concentrate and spend your time just on learning Torah. The son can still fill for his father a jug of water and light him a lamp. He can even roast for him a small fish. And the way most Rishonim explain, because these are considered trivial acts and they weren't included in the nether. Another pshat that the Rishonim give is just the opposite. That the father saw that his son is not learning and the father says, I will not give any benefit to my son until he becomes serious in his studies in his Limud HaTorah. And the Gemara is saying that the father is allowed to do these small acts even under those circumstances for his son. But according to the pshat, say to Mepharshim, the first pshat that we learned, that the Gemara is teaching us what a son may do for a father, even though the father says, I don't want to benefit from you. So I saw from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that even though there's typically, as we're learning in our Gemara, perhaps a concern of bittul Torah, when a son will service his father when he could be learning that time. He says that kibud av aim overrides any other obligation, and therefore he says, la'aloch l'maisa. Let's say there's a son learning in yeshiva, and his father needs to go somewhere. The father can't drive and get there by himself. The son should drive the father, and it's not considered bittul Torah, because that's what kibur of the aim entails. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, hamuda ano mechaveroi. If someone is not allowed to benefit from someone else, mutar lahashkoisoi koishel shalom. He could still give him a koishel shalom. Ask the Gemara, mainihu. What does the Gemara mean with a koishel shalom? Answer the Gemara, hachet to team targima koishel beis oval. The Gemara says in Masechta Ksubis that they instituted that in the Beis Avel they should drink 10 cups of wine through the meal and through benching. Those cups of wine may be given by someone who's not allowed to benefit. The Rishonim say, most Rishonim say, that even though we're saying that you're allowed to give, the person who's not allowed to offer benefit to the other person, if the person's an Avil, he could give him the cups of wine, it means he could only give him the cup of wine to drink, but he can't actually give him the wine. The Marava Amri in Etzisrael, they said, it means kosher beis amerchatz. The Gemara says that after, Gemara Masech the Shabbos says that after one leaves a beis amerchatz, he's supposed to take a hot drink. That hot drink may be given from someone, I may receive from someone I'm not allowed to benefit from, because the entire purpose of that hot drink is just to preserve my health. It's not really considered benefit in its mutter. We learned, v'lo yozen es behemtoy. The Chum said, you're not allowed to give food to my behema, whether it's a kosher animal or not a kosher animal. Tanya, Yeshu ish oizah oimer, zon avdo v'shfachos v'knanim. He may support my Kananim servants. V'layozines behemtoy, bein tamei, bein tahara. But not my animals. As to my tama, what's the difference between the avodim that may receive support from the person I'm not allowed to benefit from, and my animals that may not receive support from someone I'm not allowed to benefit from? Answers the Gemara, avodah v'shvach k'nanim l'menchrus avidim. So two pshatim. One pshat is, the avodim after they die, we don't use their body for anything. An animal, on the other hand, behemel p'tum avidah, animal, as we learned in the Mishnah, are eaten after they die, and therefore it's considered more of a direct benefit. Another pshat is, the purpose of avodah v'shvachos v'machrusoy is to do labor in the house, is to clean the house. By my servants receiving support, and again the Karen Oira goes back to the Ran that we quoted in the Mishnah, they're not receiving the basic support. The basic support they're receiving from me, what they're receiving is extra. They could still carry out their duties of nechrutzah, of cleaning and taking care of the house, even without the extra mezoinus they're receiving from the person that I may not benefit from, and therefore it's not considered a benefit, and they may receive these mezoinus from that individual.